You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. The following program may contain adult themes, discussion, and content that some people may find offensive. If you consider yourself likely to be offended, then perhaps you'd like to tune to another frequency for the next hour. If you have any feedback or would like to see information about our other shows, please go online to radioreverb.com.
Welcome to the HRV Hour. It's every first and third Thursday at 7 p.m, repeated throughout the month. Check Radio Reverb's schedule on the website, radioreverb.com. Our social pages are Twitter and Instagram at HRV_hour. And you can join our Facebook page at HRV Hour Reverb. Please contact us on hrvhour@gmail.com. If you want to listen and subscribe to our famous podcast, type in HRV Hour at your favourite podcast platform. To listen to the full HRV Hour show, please go to the Radio Reverb website, Listen Again page. The HRV Hour, positively helping to change hearts and minds. Hi Sue, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Josh?
Not too bad. It's good to see you. I've forgotten what you look like.
I'm forgetting what I look like. I've been such a busy bumblebee over the last couple of months, and it's just so nice to be back in the hub, back in the studio.
Yes.
Yes.
And you have changed.
Oh, I know. I have or I haven't.
You have.
Oh, I have.
Oh, how you changed since last time. We haven't Stephen Paul. We haven't got Stephen, David or Tony at the moment, are they? So they're on other things. But yeah. It's good to have you on the show.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to?
Oh, gosh. Well, we had such, and it's still going on, actually. We had such a busy World AIDS Day, and it wasn't just literally on the 1st, because obviously the work I do is it starts at least mid-November. So just getting involved in incredible, exciting things, you know, visiting amazing corporate companies, you know, spreading the message, spreading the awareness. And yeah, it's been quite empowering, and working with my speakers, doing amazing things for World AIDS Day. And obviously those messages, you know, that 2030 goal, that's, you know, that's what we're all humming in. Not just the Terence Higgins, just all the HIV community and organisations, you know, we're really sort of wanting to head through that 2030 goal. And we had some fantastic news to the run-up to World AIDS Day.
Oh, what was that?
Yes, well, you know, about 15 months ago, we implemented opt-out testing accident and emergency. And we were hoping and praying that to the run-up to World AIDS Day, the Prime Minister would hopefully put his hand in his purse and, yes.
Got a purse?
I know, a non-existing purse.
His man bag.
And help us roll out into more accident and emergencies throughout the UK. And we were successful in that, and we're now going to be rolling out to another 46 accident and emergencies across the country. Now, this is all part of the goal, the mission, the vision to end new cases of HIV by 2030. So, you know, if you think about, you know, in that first 15 months, we were able to find just under 500 people living with HIV and get them on treatment. And so I was trying to do, I'm not brilliant at maths, but I was just trying to do a math. You know, we've got another 46 A&Es doing that, because it's proved to be incredibly successful, times that by another 500. I'm not going to do the math, but
go on.
No, I haven't got my calculator, but no, it's great news for the all HIV organisations, is what we wanted, so we can't moan. So he did get some pennies out of his purse, and obviously, and why I say that, Josh, on a serious note, it costs money.
Yeah, absolutely.
To implement, yeah. To, you know, so that is really great news. And so I'm just sort of gradually coming down from all that height of what was going on throughout World AIDS Day.
Yeah,
and
it's a bigger build-up, isn't it?
It is.
And then you can maybe crash out at the end, maybe.
Oh, you know, I'm looking forward to having about 2.5 weeks off, and no disrespect, I'm looking forward to not mentioning the three letters HIV.
I'm trying to think what that word.
Just not to sort of, just because I think When we do the work that we do, you know, we just literally have to, and sometimes it is hard to detach, isn't it? And I speak to many people and they have the same sort of feelings and emotions about it. When they sort of take time off, it's really difficult to come away because we're so much talking about it, we're so much talking about the message and we're so much talking about our stories that it becomes part of us, doesn't it? And I think it's so important, don't you think, Josh?
Absolutely. I think, you can get overwhelmed with it and you need to have that time away from it, which I suppose in like this kind of work, radio work and what you do, it's difficult.
Exactly.
So you have to just enjoy those times you get off.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the plan. Yeah. Now, eat some nice things.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm.
What's your favourite?
Oh, all of it.
Whole lot of it.
I like that. I'm a bit of a traditional. I don't know whether it's me northern. I don't know, but I like the traditional. I'm not that traditional, but I'm going to my sister's on the Christmas day, and I very quickly said, "No, we are having turkey, aren't we? I know you don't like it, but we are having it."
I like it. I don't know what it is.
I love a bit of turkey, and I said we are having pudding, Christmas pudding, because you may think, "Oh, it's too heavy. We won't bother." But I'm not coming if you haven't got the turkey in pudding.
That's what Christmas is about, isn't it?
Yes, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
So I've been doing service.
Yeah.
Yeah, just been gearing up for Christmas as well. Yeah. Back at THT on the Terence Higgins Trust on the reception, which is lovely.
Uh huh. So I'm
looking forward to a bit of time off.
Space and
enjoy the festive season.
Yes, and I don't know about you, Josh, but it's just been such a busy year with lots of things going on, you know. Lots of things have been going on and lots of changes and I don't know about you, but I think it's just gone so quickly. But someone said to me, the reason why you're thinking the year's going quicker because you're getting older. And I said, don't be rude.
It's a funny one when you just think that time's just like last year we sat here.
I know.
It's not long ago, is it?
I know.
So we've got on the show, because I've got a creaky chair, so do you know what? In the music bay, I'm going to change it. Look.
Oh, change that chair.
It's a bit creaky, isn't it?
Change it. I'll get my oil out. Oil can.
So I'll change that in the next music break. What we've got on the show, you did a great interview with somebody who's going to be on the show.
This is probably an opportunity to do a shout out as well to our lovely listeners that, if not themselves or they may know someone, we want to get some sort of guest presenters on, don't we,
absolutely.
Josh? Not that everyone's fed up of listening to us, but I think it's... but I think... We just thought, didn't we, Josh, that it would be a great opportunity to get some guest presenters on. Perhaps they come on once a month, you know, get involved in what we do. And this is a shout out at this moment. If you're interested, if you want to join Josh, you know, Tony,
David and Steve,
you know, and it's not a massive commitment. We're saying maybe about once a month, you know. Do get in touch. Do get in touch, you know, and have a chat. We can talk you through. So on that, I've managed to find a wonderful person. His name is Philip. And he's going to be coming on to be a guest presenter. So I've actually done a bit of an interview with them, because I said to Philip, I says, our listeners want to know who's running this show doing. So I thought, we've got to showcase you. And he was right giggling when I told him. So I've just recorded an interview, you know, so that the listeners will get us the approval. But no, Philip's lovely and he's got some great connections, Josh.
Yeah.
And we've already got a couple of great interviews set up for the future. So
it's good to get to know people when they come on the show. So
absolutely.
I will say, if you want to come on the show or want to come on the show, it's hivhour@gmail.com. You can contact us or go on to our Facebook page and message us through there. That'd be good.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, should we have a quick song?
Sure.
Oh, I was going to say that you're the interview, because I was listening to the interview. There's like an extra person, there's an extra thing in the background, isn't it? It's like an outtake of with your cat.
That was hilarious.
Sherry can't play it.
I try to pause it, but no, what what Josh is
trying to say.
I was doing the interview over Zoom with Philip, and my desktop was in front of a window, and I've got a very curious cat that doesn't like anyone just passing the window. So my cat jumps up on my desk and he's growling and scratching at the window. And I was so mindful that that was going to be in the recording. I thought I'd paused the button. I said to Philip, hang on, Philip, I'm just going to get my cat off this desk. And of course, it just...
It's so funny to listen to. It's
and of course, you thought that was part of the interview, didn't you,
Josh? Well, I knew that was coming up, but he said, get down, don't.
He's such a stubborn boy, honestly, you know.
But it's a shame we can't play it, but we should do an outtake, so that'd be great. But it was funny to listen to.
Oh, my goodness.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Hi, if you've just tuned in, this is the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM in the Brighton area at .com online. You can also visit our website and pick up one of our famous podcasts. You know, if you haven't done it already, we've got some fantastic podcasts in the podcast bank. Now, I would like to introduce a very special someone. Well, everyone on the HIV Hour is special, but this person is very special, and he's going to be joining us on the HIV Hour. I'm going to introduce you to Philip Dehaney. Philip, hi there.
Hello, Sue. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Was that introduction okay for you?
Very good. Thank you very much. You're very kind. It's a privilege to speak.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking, obviously, it would be great for our listeners to get to know a bit about you and, you know, maybe what you could bring to the HIVR and maybe some things, how you could, contribute in some way. And maybe just tell us a bit about yourself, because our listeners are very beautifully nosy. They want to know about us. We talk about ourselves all the time, so we never want to let them not know what's going on. So, you live in London, Philip, don't you?
Exactly. Yeah, we're all nosy. We all want to know the ins and outs. I've been living with HIV for 7 years now. So I live in London. I was diagnosed while living down here. I'm originally from Middlesbrough, but moved down here to come to drama school many years ago. After my diagnosis, I always wanted to use my voice to kind of talk about my experience and to share it with other people. And I had a theatre blog for a number of years where I would interview other people living with HIV. So it's a real privilege to be asked by the HIV Hour to come on board and to kind of share my experience, and not only mine, to like be able to interview other people. So I'm really excited about the people that we're going to get on and the stories that we're going to hear, because as somebody like me who is a single gay man living with HIV, I've never met anybody else, any women or other men or any with different backgrounds, until I began working with Terence Higgins Trust, and it opened up this beautiful collection of people that are brilliant, as you know, this community that we are a part of. Yeah. I feel really honoured to be a part of it. And
what I was going to ask you, Philip, I mean, you said you came to London from Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
You said that you got diagnosed in London, okay, with HIV. Now, this might seem a ridiculous question, but I'm going to ask you, did you know much about HIV before your diagnosis?
I did. I mean, so I was born in 1982 when the original first cases came to London, and when even our very own Terry Higgins sadly passed away. So I grew up in the shadow of it and I knew a lot about it. But obviously, as a gay man in Middlesbrough, I didn't really have any gay friends. It was only when I moved to London that I met other gay men. And I did meet other people who were living with HIV at that point. But then it started to change. And obviously, the introduction of medication to control the virus came about. And I think in my case, it was no longer a death sentence. It was no longer something to be scared of. So I think because of that, I didn't take the precautions. I was aware of PrEP and I knew about PEP and I even had friends that had taken it themselves. Nice. But for me, I was in quite a dark place and I was getting involved in parties and sex, right, like unprotected, and mm-hmm. really wasn't looking after myself. And I put that down to self-worth and mm-hmm. the fact that I didn't care enough about myself to protect myself. Mm-hmm. So I kind of fell through that hole. And like I say, although I knew about HIV, although I knew about PrEP, although it was available to me yeah. by that point, mm-hmm. It wasn't available in the NHS, but I could still have paid for it if I wanted yeah. it. But I didn't think about it because I knew at that point it wasn't going to kill me. So right. I think if anything, I just became a bit complacent, which I do mm-hmm. regret now. And this is mm-hmm. why I do value this opportunity to share my story, and to, especially when we go into schools as part of yeah. Positive Voices, yeah. as a Positive Voice speaker, I love that chance to then mm-hmm. just give people that experience and that kind of guidance from my perspective of if I thought about it, if I valued yeah. myself a bit more at that point, I would have taken care. Like I had, even yesterday, I had somebody reach out to me yeah. on Instagram and they were asking, say, like, about PEP and about PrEP and what whether they should be on it. And it's yeah. great to be able to give that insight and that advice mm-hmm. to help other people, because ultimately that's now what we do with Terence yeah. Higgins and yeah. Yeah. all the organisations that I yeah. now work with. I'm very proud to be able to do that.
Because you were, well, you're still young, how dare me. I was going to say, when you were young, you are still a young man.
Oh, I don't feel it sometimes.
I know, but I mean, you're a young gay man living in London, living yeah. with HIV. Do you know much about, and this is, you may have heard some stuff, do you know much about the history of what happened all those years? You know, we're talking about the beginning of what we call back then the AIDS epidemic. Do you know much about what happened from other people? What's your knowledge
of? Yeah, absolutely. And that was it. Like I say, I was always aware of it.
Right.
And I saw plays and I saw films and documentaries about it. But also this opportunity to now work with other people yeah. through the Terence Higgins Trust has given me an even deeper insight into what it was like yeah. to live through that. Yeah. And I'm certainly very grateful. And I always kind of, I love hearing other people's stories. And that's why especially yeah. with the HIV hour, I would love yeah. to bring people in and like share their experiences as well. Because you're right, like my experience is quite narrow. It's from mm-hmm. 7 years ago. I'm a single gay man. But to listen yeah. to young women who are living with HIV today mm-hmm. and their experiences, which differ, and then to go back as far as I call them legacy characters, yeah. the people who've been living with it for as long as I've been alive, the people who've yeah. had it yeah. since 1982 and are still here, yeah. and their stories about they consider themselves survivors because that's mm-hmm. exactly what they are. And in some cases, yeah. they have survivor's guilt that their yeah. friends and they yeah. saw other people mm-hmm. sadly mm-hmm. pass away, but yet something has kept them yeah. here. Yeah. I find the stories interesting. I find them very fascinating.
Yeah, I don't know whether you were, but in Brighton and Hove, we've got one of the largest aging populations of people living with HIV. And if you think, yeah. and some of those people we've just been reflecting back, because a lot, you know, what we like to, you know, especially going into the new year, reflecting back on the year and obviously reflecting back on World AIDS Day. And just literally, you know, for some of the people that are listening, they're reflecting back for decades and you know, so, you know, 30, 40 years, some of our listeners have been living with HIV and, you know, some of the residents in Brighton, as I say, we've got one of the largest populations of people now living longer. I mean, you will live as a young man, you will go into older yeah. age and the years after that, knowing because we have that medication, we have the guarantee of this scientific evidence information that you take the medication now, you won't pass it on, and you're going to be promised a long, healthy life expectancy. So, and sometimes quite interesting for me to sort of talk to someone that's been living with HIV for over 40 years, then maybe someone, a young person living with HIV for 7 years, and just to really look at those differences. But you know, one thing I really like, and this is what I want to make sure that, you know, all the young people, as much as we're giving them all the up-to-date information, and that's what we do on the show, you know, what HIV is, not death sentence and all of that stuff, I'm passionate to make sure that we must never forget. We must never forget the decades ago, you know, at the beginning of the AIDS crisis, when, you know, people were dying, that people were fighting for the medication. And I think that that should go down in, well, I'm sure it does, you know, with the memorial quilts and the legacies of people that are telling the stories of back then. But I think we should never forget where it came from, to understand, I think, to understand where it came from and to understand what we have now because of some people. Do you get what I'm saying there, Phila?
Yeah, absolutely. And you said it in that about World AIDS Day and how I reflect on World AIDS Day and use it as a kind of day to commemorate everybody that we've lost, but also to celebrate everybody that's still here and the work that we've achieved and the work that we've still got to do. So I always look back, and especially in my talks, in particular, if you're asked a question like, what was it like for you to be diagnosed? I give them my answer and I say, well, this is how it was for me. But then I do then go on to explain how it was for other people. And I do always kind of reflect on the different challenges that younger people diagnosed with HIV quite recently have, as opposed to people who have been diagnosed a long time ago. Yeah. Because a lot of the older cases, they will have had damage to their body because they won't have been put on a medication immediately. Whereas the sooner, as you know, the sooner you get put onto medication, the less the chance of actual damage to your body and ongoing health concerns. So this is the thing we always have to reflect as well, that people living with HIV in their elderly years now have a lot more complications and problems that they need to be aware of and we need to be aware of and considerate of. But also, we as younger people being diagnosed more recently, we have different challenges. As young single people, we have to face a different scrutiny and a different stigma because we're still playing that game of wanting to be accepted by a partner. So yeah, there's different challenges for both of us, but ultimately that's why we're all here to support and why we're all here to kind of identify these challenges and look out for each other.
Exactly. Now, there's much more to you than HIV.
Yes.
I mean, you're such a busy boy. You're always doing something. You're always on the go. You're always sort of, you know, doing one of your YouTube thing. Tell us what you do outside the HIV world, or is it all connected?
Well, this is a weird thing about it. It does feel like I'm not very spiritual, but then I do feel it just has all kind of aligned. And I think opportunities open up and you either walk through them and take them or you let them pass by. And with regards to with HIV, I think obviously I'm very passionate about raising awareness and activism now because it directly impacts me. And I love working with the charity specifically because it is about me. It's just me standing up for myself and our stories and my experience and helping other people from a kind of privileged perspective as well, because I was only diagnosed 7 years. It wasn't a death sentence. I have very supportive friends and family and I got on with my life.
Yeah,
so to be able to help other people who aren't as fortunate is a real honour. But yeah, I trained as an actor. I always worked in this kind of, had that experience of like public speaking and interviewing people and talking. And I'm obviously a very confident person and I love theatre and I love films. So to be able to then kind of draw on all this, and I've got plans in the future to either produce, I'm very good friends with Nathaniel, who's written two beautiful plays.
That's and other playwrights.
And even our Stephen Hart, who has written a beautiful play that he plans to revive.
He does.
I have a story in me that I hope to one day either put onto a stage mm-hmm. or make into a film. So these are all things that I kind of want to explore as well. But yeah, I'm really enjoying. I only began working with Positive Voices and Terence Higgins this year. So this year I've really kind of focused on that. And I'm going to be spending Christmas working with the Food Chain.
My first Christmas in London. Tell us a bit more about
I'm really excited. So I didn't even know they existed. This is a company that are based at Positive East in Stepney Green. And they're a charity that basically they deliver meals and groceries to people who are struggling, who can't afford. So they have different programs. They have Eating Together, which is on a Wednesday and Saturday. And they invite people in and they give them a nutritionist meal and they give them a talk. And they just support people. And it's a way for... I've been along and it's a beautiful environment, really safe space. Nobody gets judged. You're just there. Again, for me as a single gay man, to meet people from different walks of life and different experiences living with HIV, I find it really eye-opening. Mm-hmm. The Food Chain are brilliant. They don't have as much resources as some of the bigger charities. Yeah. So they really do need help. And I ran Red Run for mm-hmm. them to raise some money. And on Christmas, I'm going to be volunteering. So I will be driving. I'm going to be driving around collecting people who would normally be spending Christmas alone. Right. And they bring them into the centre and they're going to give them a meal and a little present. Oh. And then we'll drive them all home because obviously there's no transport on Christmas Day. Right. So it's a real privilege because I've been driving for 23 years, would you believe it?
Oh, and I thought you were a young man.
Oh, I know. I drove very early. But that was it. Like, I've always been able to drive and you don't really get the opportunity to when you live in London. So to be able to give that skill and give back, I'm just really kind of, that charity in particular have done a lot for me this year.
Yeah. 97.2 FM.
Radio Reverb.
So, Philip, here's a question. As a young man yourself being diagnosed with HIV, what would you say to someone that may be listening in or that maybe has been recently diagnosed? Perhaps they're a young person, maybe they're not, or they've just been diagnosed. From what you know now, what advice, what would you say to those people?
My biggest piece of advice to anybody of any age or mm-hmm. no matter how long, whether you're recently diagnosed or been living with it for years, is to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's the biggest obstacle at the moment or barrier mm-hmm. where you don't have enough information or you have these kind of concerns or fears that you keep to yourself. And the only way you're ever going to squash them is by learning and educating yourselves. I remember when I was first dying, I had a couple of concerns. One was, as you say, I'm a single gay man, but I remember distinctly thinking, I'm never going to have children now. Mm. And that was just something that popped into my head.
Yeah.
But it was only when I spoke about that and said that out loud to somebody that they corrected me and said, well, actually, if you're on effective medication, you can't pass it on to your child. Mm-hmm. So straight away, I was worried for nothing. Mm-hmm. And again, I was worried about if I fell in love with someone and they didn't love me back. Mm-hmm. And I remember then going on a date with somebody else who was living with HIV mm-hmm. and saying this to them. And then they were living with HIV and I was. So I was like, well, this is meant to be. We're meant to be together. And obviously it just didn't work out. For whatever reason. And that was quite a steep lesson to learn because I was like, it doesn't matter. People are either going to be into you or they're not. It makes no difference. Just because you think they're going to be put off by you being HIV positive. Actually, it's not the case. Mm-hmm. So, I think from what and that's why I value this opportunity to work mm-hmm. with Terence Higgins Trust and to the Positive Voices to go into schools and talk about my experience and to kind of show that kind of courage, because it does take courage to like mm-hmm. speak out about it. But I think if you're seen to do it, it kind of can inspire and hopefully encourage other people to start those conversations. Yeah. And I love learning. I learn every time I hear somebody else speak about it, or every time I talk about it with other people. Yeah. So it's that. That's what I would say is the biggest lesson. And just don't worry. Like, I kind of integrate it into my story about how I feel really proud to be HIV positive. I feel I've changed as a person. I value my life now. I'm really grateful to be here because, as you know, there's so many people who aren't as lucky because they were diagnosed 10, 20 years before me. And I feel for me, it's made me a stronger person. It's made me a more passionate person, a more caring person. So don't see it as a negative. You've got to really, like anything in life, you see it as a challenge or you can see it as a benefit. You've got to look for, ultimately, you're stuck with it now. So like, you can either...
The thing is, and as you know yourself, Phil, there's so much support there. There is so much support. You know, that you're not on your
if
own.
If you ask for it.
You're not on your own. Honestly, you know, there's the amazing... some amazing organisations out there. There's handfuls of organisations out there that can support you going through that diagnose and those first steps and all of that stuff. So you'd never be on your own, would you, Philip? You know, so.
No, that's it. Yeah. But just ask for it because you're not going to get the help.
Yeah.
And don't feel you're a burden. No. We all need help. We all need support.
Of course we do.
The worst that can happen is someone can say, I can't offer you that, or I can try and find somewhere else. Like even when people ask me questions, if I don't know, I say, well, I don't know, but I can find someone or can help you find someone who can help.
Exactly.
So I think it's just about asking because the support is there and we're very lucky to have it.
And especially in Brighton, you know, I'm talking about Brighton. I mean, the show gets all over the world, Philip. I don't know whether I told you that, but, you know, but obviously we've got a lot of residents in Brighton and Hove that do tune in, and they most of them are probably aware of the fantastic support within Brighton. Now, I know you've got some really great ideas for some nice interviews for the coming year, the new year. So that's going to be interesting, and I know we'll keep the listeners on the edge of their seats, but you're going to be working on a couple of things we've been talking about, aren't you, Phil? And that's really exciting sort of to get you going, and we'll also have you down at the studio as well. We'll have you sort of, you know, in the studio in Brighton, so we'll arrange that as well. But no, Philip, it's, you know, to becoming, you know, a guest presenter, that's going to be brilliant, you know, and welcome to the team. We're going to be hearing more from young Phila in the coming months. You're going to tell me off after this, I know. But I think you've got an idea what I'm like. So thank you again, Philip, for saying hello and saying hello to our listeners. And we'll be speaking very soon. And have a great Christmas and good luck for the Christmas thing you're doing with the food chain, you know, commendable.
Thank you. And you too, I'm really excited. Have a brilliant new year. I'm in Brighton for New Year, actually.
I've got some friends
who are down, so I'm going to be down in Brighton. We'll see what comes up in January. Very excited, though.
Brilliant. Wonderful. Well, okay, Philip, we will be in contact soon. And thank you so much for coming on to say hello to everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
That was Madonna and Hung Up, one of your favourites, that, Sue, isn't it?
You know, we've just been talking about this. I've always been a massive fan of Madonna, remembering her first song she done on Top of the Pops. Do you remember which that one was?
It was Lucky Star. Holiday.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And I fell in love with her then, as in an artist, and I thought, oh, my God, you know, so I've been following her. right back then. But this song, Hung Up, is from one of the best albums I personally think she's ever
Confessions,
done.
Isn't it?
I mean, and we were just saying every single song on that album was absolutely, could have been a number one. So I just, And of course, I know we're celebrating Madonna at the moment with her sold out tours and in London.
Do you never fancy going to see her? Or?
It's quite a lot of money,
yeah,
isn't it?
A lot of money, yes.
But I mean, I have seen her. I have seen her a few years ago, but no. So that's why I chose that song, Josh.
So, yeah, well, you're listening to the HIV Hour. Welcome, 97.2 FM, DAB Plus. So your interview with Philip was really good. It was very insightful about how Philip is.
And that's one of the things I love about Philip. He's very excitable. He's quite driven. He's going to bring another aspect to the show, I think, with his personality. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Did you get that sort of...
He seems like he's got quite vibrant.
And he's very passionate. I mean, and one thing that was what we were talking about, I was trying to ask him to, you know, not necessarily make a comparison, but he's a young man, you know. And he was diagnosed quite young. He's been living with HIV 7 years. And I just wanted to, you know, I said to him, you know, what would you say to anyone, you know, just being diagnosed? And I think he said that quite beautifully, you know. There's always someone there, isn't there, Josh?
Yes.
There's so much support, especially within Brighton and Hove, you know. Just reach out or get someone to reach out for you, maybe. Yeah. But no, he's going to inject a little bit of difference, I think, on the show. And as I say, we're all already in talks with two interviews. He's got possibly lined up for the new year. So watch this space.
Oh, that's really good, yeah. So you've got a story, haven't you? What's
Yeah,
what's
I mean, on? It's quite shocking. It's on AIDS Map, and it's from the International Conference on AIDS and STIs in Africa. This is the title, which is quite shocking. Locked Up and Forgotten. African prisoners have been left behind in the fight against HIV. Now, this is despite 15.5% of prisoners in sub-Sahara Africa having HIV. Yeah, I know. Incarcerated people have been largely left behind in the fight against HIV. Now, in the 22nd International Conference on AIDS and STIs in Africa, taken place in Zimbabwe. So this was last week. So speaking at a special session on promoting prison health reform in Africa, Doreen Nyobli, the Sub-Sahara African Director at Penal Reform International, told the conference that HIV burden in Zimbabwe prisoners were 27% and 37% in Malawi. And it just goes on to give a few more stats. So basically it's quite high. Mm. Furthermore, While the few prisoners' health interventions have mainly focused on men incarcerated, women have the highest prevalence of HIV in Malawi. 50% of female prisoners have HIV, Josh, compared to 30% of males. So, you know, the factors contributing to the high prevalence rates include the absence of prevention materials like condoms, PrEP and harm reduction, sexual violence, assaults and poor nutrition, which leads to some people exchanging sex for food. You know, one has to go look behind at quite a lot of things. You know, well, why is HIV affecting, you know, without thinking, you know, how they've got to that situation. Nairobi explained that the situation was exaggerated by overcrowding. I mean, if you compare to the prisons in the, you know, in Europe or the UK, overcrowding, for instance, Uganda has a prison capacity of 19,000, but currently there are 74,000 people in prisons. Similarly, Malawi has a prison capacity of 7,000, but over 6,000 prisoners. So there you go.
Shows you, doesn't it?
And what I thought was quite interesting when I looked at that, I just maybe wanted to sort of just talk a little bit about what we are actually doing in the UK, because I've had some not very nice comments about, well, why are we bothering with people in prison?
Which is...
Yeah, ridiculous. They're prisoners.
Yeah.
I said, okay, but we're talking about people's human rights.
Yeah.
So why, in other words, why should we be given education to prisoners? Okay. So basically what we're doing at the Terence Higgins Trust Positive Voices, where we've got connections now, we go into a lot of prisons throughout the UK and we're educating. We've got an amazing person called Punk Seth who was leading that project, and he's, you know, we're going into prisons, educating prisons and the staff, you know, giving information. And, you know, we've got so much work next year. And it's crucial because, you know, people go into prison, they do the time, they come out, they spent their time. So, you know, we're talking about human rights here.
Has Punk been on the show? Hasn't he?
He has, yes. The wonderful Punk now. Yeah. And just to reflect on Punk, he's an ex-prisoner and he had trouble, you know, in prison, and he decided to stand up and sit up and educate the prison system. Mm. And obviously when he came out of prison, you know, he set up like a business, really, of, you know, his passion was, I don't want anything like that to happen to any other person. You know, we're talking about people's human rights. So it was quite interesting, you know, and comparisons of, you know, maybe why in some parts of the world there are high prevalence of HIV. Now, obviously, in some of those prisons, they're not getting, you know, sex education because, you know, let's be honest, sex does happen in prisons.
Yep,
and it's being realistic and transparent about that. So we need to, you know, the end of the day, Josh, you know, as a nation, okay, of all HIV organisation, the mission is to stop transmission wherever.
Yes.
Whether that's in a prison system, whether that's in a educational school, in colleges or corporate or what have you. So that is the mission, just regardless, you know. So, if, you know, we're going into prisons now. We're educating those people. They're coming out of prison, probably had more education and more information.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think it's amazing work. So, you know, when we're talking about reduction of transmission, we have to deliver it everywhere.
It has to be everywhere, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah.
And it shows you that other countries haven't got that.
I know. I mean, those figures, you know.
It's a lot, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness me. So, I thought it was quite interesting just to make that wee comparison.
Yes. No, I think it's good to know to get that across, actually. Shall we have a song?
Shall we?
97.2 FM. Welcome back to the HIV Hour. That was Wham! Edge of Heaven, which... I went to see Wham when I was...
When you were a boy?
With a snapper, yes. And it was when he threw the...
Your shorts? Leads. Oh, no, sorry.
No, it was the
not your shorts.
Shuttlecock thing. The badminton shuttlecock. Oh. It's when he should threw them out. Yeah. Oh. I was only 14, 15, I think.
Oh.
Did like his shorts.
Yeah, very nice, weren't they?
Yeah, welcome back to the HIV Hour. That was 97.2 FM. So you've just found something on the
interweb,
haven't you?
I know.
Which is quite
which is very interesting. And it's Grindr, ready to promote HIV self-tests in plan to eradicate the virus. Now, dating app Grindr is on board to promote the widespread use of HIV self-tests, similar to COVID rapid tests, which are now cheap as, now it says $20. I don't know what that is in pounds.
I don't know now,
anyone's
actually
got a calculator.
I don't know.
And could help eradicate the disease in Australia by 2030.
Wow.
But Australia's HIV Task Force latest report has recommended the Commonwealth work with states and territories to expand the use of self-tests, including improving initiatives to encourage testing from local programs. So, I mean, that is interesting, because I know they're speaking about Australia, but I mean, Grindr's all over the world, you know.
Yeah,
so that is, and that's really sort of stepping up and taking the initiative, isn't it?
I think it's good. I think it's every single outlet you can think of.
Yeah, exactly. Where can we place that? Where can we make that information available?
Well, me and Deborah were talking about that last week, about barbershops and, why can't we have... Having prep in barbershops.
Yeah,
you know, saying,
exactly.
You know, you go in and you used to say, what did you want for the weekend?
Well, sir.
Prep. pet machine in the corner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's lots of different ways we can
develop this, and get it out there. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Want to watch.
And the years are ticking for that 2030 goal, so it's looking even wider, isn't it, Joss? And I thought that was quite interesting just to mention.
Just popped up on the interweb.
Yes.
So a little bit of local news, actually. Reality TV star James Argent. So do you know who that is?
Yes, he was on the... was it the only way... Originally, the only way is Essex, or was it the only way is Essex, or something like that? He originated from there.
Maybe, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was.
Right,
yeah,
so, but he's been on one of the celebrity SAS Wins.
Mm-hmm.
So he is taking part in the Brighton Half Marathon as part of the Team Beacon.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
So
for him.
In support of the Sussex Beacon, which is good.
Yeah.
So there's a limited number of free spaces that are available if you want to run alongside James, as well as other well-loved celebrities.
Ooh.
So the half marathon's going to be Sunday, the 25th of February.
Mm-hmm.
The Team Beacon runners will enjoy a range of exclusive VIP benefits, including free bag drop.
Ooh.
Private toilet facilities,
ooh,
pre and post race. So if you want to join the experience and participate in the half marathon, go to their website, I think, probably sussexbeacon.org.uk, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
And check it out on their website and you'll be able to join
them. Wonderful.
You've done the marathon. Have you done the marathon? You did a marathon.
Oh, no, I've done 10K runs.
In a bee suit.
Sorry, I think that was a 10K walk. But no, I've done 10K run in the past, dressed as Superwoman. I don't do anything, but if I do something, I don't do it by half.
No.
But no, I was quite pleased with that. I've done just over an hour. I was quite pleased with that, but no. No.
I don't think I could do it, I don't know. My knees don't want to.
Your knees,
you've
got wobbly knees.
Yeah.
I'm being rude now. Listeners, I think, what's she talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think.
I haven't seen his knees, everybody. No. I haven't really seen his knees.
No, not sneeze.
The bee's knees. The bee's
knees.
Where
are we going with this? So we're coming to the end of the show, shortly.
I know.
It went really quick, didn't it?
I know.
How have you enjoyed being back?
Yeah, I know. It's been super, just me and yous.
Yeah. Like the old days.
Like the olden days.
Have you enjoyed being back?
Yeah, I'm just sitting here and I'm looking into the centre there of and seeing a beautiful Christmas tree, which is rather Christmassy in... because we're along London Road, aren't we? So we're just looking out into the
open market. Yeah.
The open market and looking at a lovely lit festive Christmas tree, which is lovely.
They have loads of markets, actually, I think, on Saturday.
Yes, they do. It's quite thriving, isn't it, on a Saturday?
Yeah, come down.
Come down and have a look.
So I just want to say before we finish, Lunch Positive will be on tomorrow, Friday, which is Dorset Methodist Church.
Mm.
So that starts at 12. 1 p.m. is lunch. So do go down there for a nice... I don't know if it's Christmas lunch. That might be...
They are doing a festive. I would have imagined they're doing a festive one, aren't they?
Yeah, we'll talk about that next, because we're all going to be here next week in the studio live.
The gang will be here.
So, we'll leave you. We're going to go now, but we'll leave you with... this track, I remember buying the 12-inch of it in the day, and it's, I don't know if you remember, it's Talking Heads' Slippery People.
Oh, gosh, yes. Yes, I do.
Well, should we have a listen to it?
I do, yeah.
So thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Yes. Yeah, take care, everybody.
Yeah, take care, everyone, and we'll see you next week.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.